Now then, the first part of our Bible reading. Belinda, over to you.
Morning, everybody. Our readings are all about Joseph this morning, and the first reading is they're taken from the Lion Storyteller Bible, and the first part is Joseph the Dreamer. Jacob had 12 sons. That's right, 12. His favourite son was Joseph. Jacob spoiled him and gave him special gifts, like a beautiful coat decorated with many colours. Reds and greens, blues and yellows, purples and pinks. Joseph was bright as a rainbow and proud as a peacock. Joseph's older brothers did not like this one bit. But what they hated even more were Joseph's dreams. "I had a dream last night," boasted Joseph. "Oh no," groaned his brothers. "I dreamed that we were all bundles of wheat, and guess what happened? Your bundles of wheat bowed down and worshipped mine." "And I had another dream," Joseph bragged. "Go on," his brothers sighed. "I dreamed we were all stars, and guess what? Your stars bowed down to mine, just as if I were your king." It didn't take long for Joseph's brothers to grow tired of this, but that's no excuse for what they did. The next time they were out of Jacob's sight, they grabbed Joseph, tore off his colourful coat, and dropped him down a dry well. They were just about to kill him, in fact, when they spotted a cloud of dust at the edge of the hill. It was a band of traders bound for Egypt, their camels loaded with goods for sale. "Why should we kill Joseph?" asked one of the brothers, "when we can sell him to these traders and make some money for ourselves. He'll be sold as a slave in Egypt and his foolish dreams will never come true." 20 pieces of silver, that's how much the traders gave them for Joseph. And when the traders had gone, the brothers ripped up Joseph's coat, dipped it in the blood of a goat, and carried it home to their father. "Joseph is dead," they told Jacob, and they showed him Joseph's coat, its long sleeves shredded, its beautiful colours smeared with blood. Jacob wept and wept, and Joseph wept too, as the traders carried him far from home.
So, mission possible, or mission impossible. Mission possible. Your task, should you choose to accept it, is to share the good news. God has made each of us, you and me, into a special shape. So not just this kind of shape. Some of us have got bigger over Christmas. Not just the outward shape, but also the inward shape, the shape of what you are like inside. And that's something that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. So I'll give you a little clue, something to do with the shape of me. That's quite small, so I don't know if you can see that. It's a little pad for writing lists. Are there any fellow list makers in the building? Thought there might be. I make a lot of lists. Sometimes there are nice pads like this. Sometimes they're on scruffy bits of paper that I lose. Sometimes it's on my hand. And I use list making to keep things organized so that things that need to get done do get done. And if you saw me making a list, you would kind of know what sort of person I am, wouldn't you? So I want you to think for a moment. If you were to stand up here with an object that said a bit about what you're like, about what your abilities are, or what you like, what you're like as a person, I wonder what object you would choose. If we had a line of objects up here and we could go, well, that's obviously Harriet, and that's obviously Sarah, and that's obviously Chris, wonder whether we'd be able to guess. So I would like you to talk with the people on your table and think, if I was going to choose an object that said something about me, what would I choose? Go. And we're going to bring the mic round in a minute if you want to share.
Thank you.
Right, do you want to go?
To get something.
Yeah. Let's see if anybody wants to share what their object was. Dan's going to come around with a mic. If you'd like to share, then stick a hand up, or he'll probably come anyway, so you might as well be the one to volunteer. By the way, sorry that we didn't have the special suit and the zip wire for Dan to arrive on this morning. It's in the post.
So, here we go, Eloy.
Mummy.
Hey?
Mummy.
Mummy? Mummy would be the thing that you would have.
Anyone else?
Anyone else got an object? Oh. I'll come back to you in a minute, Andrew.
A pack of playing cards.
Oh.
I play a lot of bridge and whist and things like that.
Okay, because that's part of your passion and hobby, Andrew.
Well, Chris has told me to say this. I said nose because I'm nosy.
a nosy person. Right, okay, Andrew, I can't imagine that at all.
Mark? For me, it's a fountain pen. I write with a pen and that's... I do a lot of writing. So.
Okay, a fountain pen because you like writing. Who have we got someone there? Ah, Sean.
My bottle.
Your bottle?
Water bottle.
Is that your water bottle? Okay, good. It's very pink. Pink and purple. Anyone else? Oh, we got another one over here. I'm coming.
Maybe that donkey in the stable over there, because it looks cute and I love animals.
You love animals, so that donkey in the stable, okay.
Brilliant, because you love animals.
Okay, I think that's it.
Right, well, I wonder what makes you the shape that you are. God has given you a special shape inside, and during this series, we're going to unpack the five letters of the word shape. So your spiritual gifts, that's the S. The H is your heart's desire, the things that you're really passionate about. The A is your abilities, the things that you're good at. The P is your personality, what kind of person you are. And finally, experience for E, the things that you've been through that you can then use to shape your present and your future. And if you think about Joseph in the story that we heard, Joseph had a really strong ability to be a leader. And as you heard in the story, it's not always easy to live with people who are strong leaders. His brothers found it difficult, but that was his gift. And you, those of you who know the story of Joseph know how he's going to use that in the future. He also had a very powerful spiritual gift to hear and interpret dreams. And we know that that gets used later as well. And Joseph knew that he wanted to use those gifts for God. So my list making... I do it to make sure that everybody got a present in December who was meant to get a present, I think. And that I was able to make sure I wrote a list of all the neighbours that I wanted to invite round for drinks before Christmas. It's my way of God using me to share God's love. So I wonder what your object says about you. If you thought of something that you would bring up, what does it say about you? What does it reveal about your personality, about your interests, about your passions? About your experiences. Hopefully there's a story to tell. With God, there's no mission impossible. There's only mission possible, as long as we're prepared to offer him what we have. We're going to hear a bit more about that shortly.
We're going to stand again and sing, and we're going to get the band to come up as they're going to lead us as we sing Faithful One. Would you like to stand?
I wonder if Joseph would have been able to sing this song as he was sold into slavery and brought into Egypt, whether he would still be able to say that God is faithful. I think he would have done, because I think he knew that God was with him, even in that very dark time.
If you'd like to be seated, Belinda's going to come up and read us part two of our story.
Part two, Joseph the prisoner. When the traders took Joseph to Egypt, they sold him to one of the king's own soldiers, a man named Potiphar. He was kind, and Joseph worked very hard for him. So hard, in fact, that Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all his other slaves. Potiphar's wife, however, was evil and cruel. She told lies about Joseph and had him thrown in prison. Things looked bad for Joseph. It seemed as if his dreams would never come true, but God was watching over him. One morning, one of the other prisoners said, "I had a dream last night, a strange dream. I dreamed I saw a grapevine with three branches. Suddenly, bunches of grapes burst out of those branches, so I squeezed them into a cup and gave it to the king to drink. I wonder what it means." Joseph listened to the dream. God listened too. Then he whispered the dream's meaning into Joseph's ear. "I know what it means," said Joseph. "Before you were sent to prison, you served wine to the king. Well, in 3 days, you will be set free and serve him wine once more." That's exactly what happened. And when the wine server was set free, he promised to help Joseph get out too. 2 long years went by. Then one morning, the king of Egypt said, "I had a dream last night, a strange dream, and I can't work out what it means." "A dream?" said the wine server. "I know a man who can tell you all about your dreams." And straight away, Joseph was brought from the prison. "I was standing on the banks of the river," the king told Joseph, "when I saw 7 fat cows walk out of the water. They were chewing happily on the grass. When 7 other cows joined them, these cows were bony and thin, and instead of eating the grass, they ate the first of the 7 cows, but they stayed as skinny as ever. What can it mean?" God whispered in Joseph's ear. Joseph listened. Then he bowed and said, "Your Majesty, for the next 7 years, Egypt will grow many good crops and be as fat as those first cows. But after that, for another 7 years, hardly any food at all will grow. So unless you want your people to look like those skinny cows, you must store up food in the good years and use it wisely later." The king was so impressed with Joseph's answer that he not only let him stay out of prison, he put him in charge of storing and saving and serving out Egypt's food. 7 good years were followed by 7 bad. And after the king, Joseph became the most important man in Egypt. It was like a dream come true.
So, mission possible. I've got another object which I want to show you to tell you a story. I don't know if you can see this. It's a little statue, and it's of a child who is resting in somebody's hand. And it's a statue of God holding out his hand and someone resting like a child in that hand. And when I find I can't pray, I don't know what to pray, if I'm very upset, then I sometimes hold this and I just allow that to speak for me to God, because I find it difficult to find the words to speak. And sometimes I have given one of these statues to somebody who I knew was in trouble, or I might just use it as a way of reminding myself that I can encourage other people that God is still faithful in difficult times. So it's a really powerful thing. It means a lot to me. So Joseph was having a really rough time, wasn't he? He'd been sold into slavery, he'd been put into prison, but he had that gift, remember, of being able to interpret dreams. And he wanted to use his gifts for God, and he was able to use them. And as a result of being able to explain to Pharaoh what his dreams meant, he was given huge power and wealth. Joseph didn't choose to be in prison. He didn't choose that life, did he? But he found himself there, and he allowed God to use him wherever he was. God has given us each a unique mission, each of us. Nobody will ever live the life that you live. So all of your experiences in the past are something unique to you, and he can use the good ones and the bad ones for his glory. Maybe it helps you to share with other people because of what you've experienced. So Joseph set people free from famine. I wonder what God wants to do with your abilities and your experiences. So I'm going to ask you another question to talk about on your tables. I wonder if there's an experience you've had, it could be something bad, it could be something good, that you're able to use for other people. Sometimes we're having a bad experience at the moment and we can't imagine how God could use that for good. Maybe it will only be in time that we'll be able to see that he was able to use that for good. But maybe if you look back on past things, maybe something good, something bad, I wonder how God could use that for good. So would you like to talk on your tables now and see if you can think of something? Obviously, you don't have to share anything too personal if you don't want to. Think of something good or something bad that you've experienced and how you might be able to use that for God, or how God has already used it to help other people. See what you can come up with. I'll send Dan around in a moment. All right, Dan's going to come around with a microphone and see if anybody wants to share. I think this might be especially one for the adults because they've got more experience to share, but it doesn't have to be adults, it can be anybody. If there's anything that comes to mind. Anybody want to share anything? Oh, they've gone quiet.
Oh, Maggie's got something. Here we go.
For me, I think bereavement's made me a much stronger person and I'm able to empathise with people in that situation.
Thank you.
Right, thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie. Anybody else want to say anything?
Okay.
The experience of threatened with redundancy, which almost happened.
Okay.
The threat of redundancy. Mm. Mark?
Yeah, if for me, in 2006, I was bankrupt. And it's just coming back from bankruptcy and that long, hard struggle and discovering there was life after bankruptcy.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Debbie. You probably don't know me, but if you do. I was nursing for years. I started my nursing career at 19. And the hard thing for me is that I ended up with a lot of back problems that led to surgery, about 3 big back ops I've had in the last 10 years. But the journey of loss of my career has led me to work through that journey, and that can be repeated in many situations, bereavement, loss of self-esteem. There's loads of scenarios with loss, but if you work it through with Father God, it leads you on a journey to be able to represent that to others in loads of different situations. And I praise God that he's done that for me.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, Dan will know about this. Many years ago, I had a situation of real conflict that was deeply painful and caused me to suffer from some depression. And I learned through handing it over to God that sometimes one has to allow things to work through the processes and to allow the truth and the things to come out without defending yourself. But it was very painful. But as I look back, out of that has led me into a path where I've been able to be a mediator and help other people with conflict and to help people avoid conflict. So that experience of conflict helped me in helping others.
Thank you, Chris. John.
Yeah. So many years ago at where I used to work, I got a promotion and it turns out that the emoluments that came with the new level were really, really insignificant. And as a result, I started agitating that, no, I can't get a promotion and not get proper emoluments. And in the process, we found out that practically everybody in my organization, either they lose pay when they get promoted, or the package that comes with it is too insignificant. And because I was in a position that I led the labor union at the office then, we were able to get the management to review everybody in the organization's pay package, and also change that process that when you get promoted, you lose pay or your pay is not increased significantly. So because of having suffered a loss in pay, I was able to use my position to make sure that everybody else in my organization got better pay. Right. And so subsequently, when we get promoted, we are placed in a proper place.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I just wanted to jump in here.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to. I think what's really interesting is that most of the stories that you've all shared have been difficult or challenging or something that might appear to be first off as a negative experience. And yet what you're demonstrating is that through that, God was able to use that for his good and for his glory. When I was a fairly young person, I had a vicar who told me, nothing is ever wasted in God's economy. And I think he was referring to any kind of experience in life, things that might seem negative or unwanted. Nothing is ever wasted in God's economy. He uses it for his glory. We've seen that in your testimony this morning. We see that in the life of Joseph. Nothing is ever wasted in God's economy.
Mm. Yeah, I just want to add, what an amazing wealth of experience we have in the room, and how wonderful it would be to keep learning from each other. So do keep sharing those stories, keep asking each other what your story is, so that we can learn from each other. Might find that somebody's already been through something similar to what you're going through, and you might be able to share with them. So that's really helpful, and that's why we have all age services, so that the generations can hear from each other and learn from each other. Wonderful. So whatever our past or whatever our present, with God, it's always mission possible. So we're going to sing again if you want to stand up.
Okay, if you'd like to be seated, Belinda's going to come and read to us our final section of the story.
Joseph, the ruler. One day there was a knock at Joseph's door, and when he answered it, his 11 brothers were standing there. They bowed down before him, they kissed his feet, and they begged, "Kind sir, we have come from Egypt to Egypt, all the way from the land of Canaan. We have no food. We are starving. May we please buy some from you?" Joseph said nothing. He just stared at his brothers. He knew who they were, but they did not recognize him. "All right," said Joseph in his sternest voice, "I will sell you food." And he ordered his servants, to load his brothers' animals. But that wasn't all he told them to do. "Take one of my silver cups," he said, "and hide it in the sack of food tied to the youngest lad's donkey." Joseph had a plan. He wanted to see if his brothers had changed. When Joseph's brothers reached the edge of the city, his servants stopped them and searched through their sacks. What did they find? The silver cup, of course. We don't know how it got there," the brothers exclaimed to Joseph. "Your brother stole it, that's how," Joseph answered, "so he must stay here in Egypt and be my slave." "No, please," begged the brothers, "that would break our father's heart. Keep one of us instead." When Joseph heard that, he knew his brothers had changed. So he told them who he was right then and there. "I am Joseph," he announced, "your long-lost brother." This news did not make his brothers feel any better. They were so frightened, in fact, that they could hardly speak. "Don't be afraid," said Joseph. "I forgive you. You meant to hurt me, but God used what you did to save us all from this terrible famine. Now go, fetch my father and the rest of our family to come and live in Egypt with me." The brothers looked up. The brothers grinned. The brothers cheered. And after a lot of hugging and helloing and handshaking, they set off for Canaan to tell Jacob the good news. And Joseph just sat back on his throne and smiled and thanked God for making his dreams come true.
God wants to use you and me to build his kingdom. If I were to give you £1 million, I wonder what you would do with it. You've got 1 minute to tell the people around you. If you had £1 million given to you right now, what would you do with it? had £1 million, what would you do with it? Hands up if you want to share. I think maybe they're a bit suspicious that I'm not going to come good on my promise of giving them the £1 million. Oh, there we are. We've got an answer here.
Sean.
A chocolate fountain.
a chocolate fountain.
Well, I can't argue with that. I think you get quite a lot of change out of £1 million, though. But I like it.
Oh, we've got Jason over here.
Okay, Jason's got something over here.
If I had £1 million, I'd half it and give half to charity and save half for the rest of my life.
Oh,
thank you. That's good. Give half away and keep half.
Amazing. Any adults? They just can't imagine that they would ever get £1 million. Someone, don't be shy. There's no wrong answer.
Do you want to go, Jasmine?
Yeah?
If I had £1 million, I'd keep on saving for more money. Then I'd give the money I had earned more to the charity than the £1 million to myself.
Wow.
You're going to keep £1 million, earn some money and give that to charity. Great, okay, I like that. Have we got anyone else? You need to put your hands up high so I can see.
Obviously, the adults haven't ever given this any thought.
Chris has.
I think there's something about enjoying giving away, but also something on our table about caring for family and helping family and people who we love and care for.
Mm. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. All right. Well, what you would do with that money... reflect something about what your heart's desire is in life, what it is that you care about, what passions God has placed within you. So as well as wanting stuff for ourselves, as we grow to be more like Jesus, we begin to want things that he wants as well. And we each have a unique passion. So the thing that you're really passionate about and that you really care about, it might be totally different to somebody else on your table. But we've all been given those unique passions, and we'll find out more about them as we go through the course. Joseph obviously found out that his brothers had come to Egypt for food. He was a bit mean to them to start with, but then he forgave them. And he said, don't worry, God used what you did for good. And he was able to save his family and all of Egypt from famine because he was open to learn and willing to change. So I wonder what you really care about. I wonder what would speak to others if you were to say, this is what I would spend the money on. And I wonder how God can use that passion, that heart's desire for good. So in this course, we're going to go on a journey of discovery, or maybe an affirmation of what you already know about what God has done within you and how he's made you, what shape you are. Or maybe it's time for you to relearn those things in a new season, because as life changes, so do our passions, so do our experiences, so do our ways of serving. So mission possible. God is always the one who says that the mission is possible with him. I'm going to finish by learning a Bible verse together. We may not have it on the screen because I know that there were a few issues with the tech. So the verse is Ephesians 2 verse 10. So we're going to see if we can learn it with a few actions. Okay. So this is the verse. I'm going to read it out to you first. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10. So if I teach it with actions, we'll see how we get on. So it starts off by saying, for we, can you do that? For we are God's handiwork. So pretend to be making something. So we'll just do that again. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, so the sign of the nails for Christ Jesus, to do good works. So created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance, which God has prepared in advance
for us to do. So we'll do that, put that together. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. We'll do it one more time. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. Well done.